Just going to read a few words from the Old Testament. You needn't turn to them. The words of a question that are found in Zechariah chapter 13. And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Monarch of the smitten cheek, scorn of both the Jew and Greek, priest and king, divinely meek, he shall bear the glory. Where the thorn wreath pressed his brow, sits the priestly mitre now. With the many crowns, oh how he shall bear the glory. And it is a remarkable thing that the one who sits in glory at this moment, radiant in all the majesty of his exalted person, bears also in his hands and feet and side the wounds of Calvary. I realize, of course, commentators are divided in where these verses should be located, whether connected to the false prophet at the beginning of the chapter or to the smitten shepherd at the end, but I'd just like to pick them out today and ask the question and answer it simply from a few scriptures. If perhaps we have been unmoved by the appeal of the messages, or if even our questions have not been answered to our satisfaction, perhaps it may be in the closing moments that we will not be unresponsive to the claims of these wounds in the hands and feet of the Lord Jesus. What are these wounds? If we open the scriptures for an answer, we find one answer in Isaiah chapter 53 and 8 verse 6 rather, in that well-known text. He was wounded for our transgressions. What are these wounds? These wounds were the price of our iniquity. And let us never forget it. It was our fault he died. Many years ago, as a little fellow, we lived in a kind of a paradise for boys. It was an orchard. At the foot of the orchard, there was a little stream deep enough to carry a few fish. And it was just next door to heaven for a boy and his dog. On a summer's day, to sit at the bottom of a big tree, concealed from all around with a fishing pole and a jar of minnows and a little stream. And that was my favorite spot. Mother knew I was there, of course, and when it came to lunchtime, she would call me home. And one day, for some reason or another, it gets into the minds of little boys. I don't quite know how, but I determined to play a trick on my mother and not answer. Mother called again, time for lunch. And then I heard her voice getting nearer. I knew she was coming down the path. She knew where I would be. And I thought of another angle. I picked up the jar of minnows, full of water and minnows. And when I thought she was close enough to get the full benefit of it, I heaved it into the middle of the stream. It went in with a great splash. I cried out in a terrified voice, help, Mother, help. Mother ran to the bank. Then I heard a thud and a cry of pain. Her foot had gone down into a hole in the ground she hadn't seen by the long grass. I jumped up the bank. My mother was writhing on the path. She had torn a ligament in her leg and twisted her ankle, and she was in great pain. I was 9 or thereabouts. And it was quite a job for me to help her back to the house. And at last she got down in the big chair in the corner of the room. If she'd only taken a stick and hit me on the head, I would have felt so much better. But she looked at me and said softly, "Son, why did you do that?" She sat there for weeks as that terrible pain mended. And I stepped into that room every day, and as I saw my mother sitting there, that's all I could think of. That was your fault. And there wasn't an errand I wouldn't have run. There wasn't a place to where I would not have gone. If only somehow I could show that I was sorry. We meet around the table Lord's Day morning. We see the bread and wine before us. Let us never forget it. He was wounded for our transgressions. It was our fault he suffered. What are those wounds? Those wounds are the price of our iniquity. What are those wounds? Those wounds are the proof of his identity. When he rose from the dead, the disciples fled to the city, barred themselves in the door, barred the door as they went into the room for fear of the Jews, and as they were gathered, suddenly he appeared before them, and they, supposing it was a spirit, they were terrified. It's the "its" of life that terrify us, isn't it? We don't know what they are. And we're filled with fear, and the Lord said, "Don't be afraid. It. The thing you're afraid of is really me. Coming into your circumstance, be not afraid. It is I, myself. Handle me and see. Press the bones of my flesh and see. It is I, myself." And he said, "Behold my hands and my feet, it is I." The undeniable proof of his identity. I was speaking on the wounds of the Lord Jesus one day. Going out of the door, a lady handed me a little clipping from a Christian magazine with this little story on it of an older Christian lady. Had reached the end of life, and she was soon to die. Her family were very religious, but had not followed her in the Christian faith, but belonged to a large religious denomination with special priests who wore special garments and did special things at special times. And they thought to do her a service as she drew near to death by sending their cleric in to visit her. As she lay on the bed, a door opened, and into the room glided a gentleman in a long white robe. Puzzled, the old lady, not knowing whether he was a doctor or what, in her confusion said, "And who are you?" "Oh," he said in sepulchral tones, "I am the Reverend so-and-so and so-and-so." "Oh," she said, "and what are you going to do?" He said, "I have come to give you absolution." "Absolution," said the simple old saint, "what is that?" Wondering if it was some kind of treatment. "Oh," said the reverend gentleman, "I have come to put your sins away and make you ready to meet God." The old lady said, "Come here." The man walked to the bedside. She said, "Show me your hands, sir." A puzzled cleric put out his two hands, and she took the hands in her frail fingers and drew them close and peered intently into the palm of each hand and dropped his hands and said to him narrowly, "Sir, you are an impostor." He was shocked. "What do you mean, madam?" "Oh," she said, "the man who put my sins away and makes me ready to meet God as the mark of the nails in the palms of his hands. How shall I then know thee amidst those hosts above? What tokens true will show me the object of my love? Thy glory, all excelling, in pure effulgence shine, But glory in thee dwelling will ne'er proclaim thee mine. Thy wounds, Lord Jesus, those deep, deep wounds will tell the sacrifice that frees me from sin and death and hell. I shall know him by the print of the nails in his hands. What are those wounds? The price of our iniquity. What are these wounds? The proof of his identity. What are these wounds? The praise of all eternity. I open the last book of the Bible, I read this wonderful text. The expression of poor sinners saved by grace and transported to glory. Unto him that loved us and loosed us from our sins in his own blood be glory and dominion forever and ever. Those wounds, as we behold them in his person, radiant in all the wonder of his love and majesty, will call forth the praise of our redeemed hearts in heaven. When our daughter Kathy was a little girl about 3 years of age, I had occasion to donate a pint of blood to a friend who was in need, and in those days it was done directly, you remember. You lay down beside the person and they plugged you in and they transported the blood from one person to another. They didn't have blood banks in those early days. My daughter didn't like the idea of anyone taking her daddy's blood away. And when I got home, just before lunchtime, she said, "Daddy," I said, "Yes, dear, what is it?" She was quite upset, I thought. "Daddy, can I see it?" "See what, dear?" "Where they took the blood away." Oh, to allay her fears, I said, "It's nothing, dear, it's just a little pin, but can I see it?" So I rolled up my sleeve and pulled up the band-aid and showed her the little needle prick in my arm. A little face flushed, she put her hands on either cheek, and her mother, wiser than I, said, "Come on now, dear, sit up for lunch." She sat up for lunch across the table from me and kept looking at me, and then she said, "But Daddy, what is it, dear?" "Daddy, I love you." I don't know what there was in that needle prick that called forth that expression of a little heart. Beloved, when we behold him and see his face, and see the hands that were nailed to the cross and the feet, the crown, the brow that was crowned with thorns, we'll be able to tell him that way, that day, in ways that we cannot now. "Lord Jesus, I love thee. For wearing the thorns on thy brow, 'tis thou who art worthy. Lord Jesus, 'tis thou." Those wounds, the price of our iniquity. Those wounds, the proof of his identity. Those wounds, the praise of all eternity. But those wounds will be the prelude to a lost eternity for the Christ rejecter, for they will see them too. What a shock when taken from their prison cells, to be suspended in space, stripped of everything, to behold the Lamb upon the throne of judgment, the great white throne. They will see those wounds, but they will hear him say, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." They could have been saved, but they would not. The next time that men see our Savior, it will not be in the homespun of a carpenter. A great deal has happened since the Son of Man had not where to lay his head. He is not now Jesus only. God hath made that same Jesus both Lord and Christ. And when men see him again, he will be leading the armies of heaven, and he won't need an air force, and he won't need an atomic bomb. He will only speak one word as a sword from his mouth, and his enemies will be destroyed. He will come as the righteous judge. He will bring the incriminating evidence, the garment dipped in blood. He will be the faithful and the true witness. He will come as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to make war against his enemies. The poet said, "I dreamed that the great judgment morning had dawned and the trumpet had blown. I dreamed that the nations had gathered to judgment before the white throne. From the throne came a bright shining angel, and he stood on the land and the sea, and he cried with his hand raised to heaven that time was no longer to be. The rich man was there, but his money had melted and vanished away, a pauper. He stood in the judgment, his debt too heavy to pay. The great man was there, but his greatness when death came were left far behind, and the angel had opened the record, no trace of his greatness could find. And oh, what a weeping and wailing, when the lost were told of their fate. They cried on the rocks and the mountains, they prayed, but their prayer was too late." Is there someone in this audience today, and you have never bowed the knee to the Lord Jesus, that lovely Savior? I cannot resist. 50 years ago yesterday, in a little upstairs bedroom in the city of Glasgow, Scotland, frightened teenager, my best friend on earth, next to my mother, had died, my aged grandfather, after whom I was named. My mother was at his bedside, and as he died, he uttered his last audible words on earth, and they were these: "I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And those words haunted me, because I knew, as a young man, teenager stepping out into life, I was going into life with less assurance than that old man, full of years, was going into eternity. 1 week after his funeral on that Friday night, I could withstand the voice of God no longer. Threw off the blankets and fell on my knees and cried on God to save me. And by his grace, he saved me. And he has preserved me these 50 years. In spite of much failure and faithlessness, he has remained faithful. And we can say in the lovely text of Jude, verse 1, "Sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called." If there is someone, perhaps the husband of a Christian wife, or a wife of a Christian husband, or a young person, and you have never yet bowed the knee to the Lord Jesus, let me give you the appeal of those wounds. These are the expression of his great love for you and for all of us. The price of your iniquity, the proof of his identity, they will be the praise of all eternity, but the prelude of judgment and a lost eternity to the unbeliever, the Christ rejecter. What are these wounds? The Lord bless our meditation, and pray that as we go with these thoughts upon our heart, it may be with a fresh desire in love to the Lord Jesus to tell the story of the glory of the man of Calvary.
Again, on behalf of CML, we thank you once again for allowing us to come to Texas and to share this day with you. We'd like to thank our brethren who have come and ministered to us from God's Word. We pray that those things we have learned today might become part of our lives as we seek to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to ask our brother Larry Batts if he would come forward and close our conference in a word of prayer.
O God of grace and God of mercy, how we thank you for the very day when the truth of the gospel of thy Son dawned into our hearts. And that burden of sin rolled away as we realized Jesus had paid it all. Father, help us to continue to remember that the poet goes on to say, all to him I owe. And our Father, we could never pay thee back. Eternity would never allow us the time or our energies to even begin to pay, to wipe one single stain away. We are continually reminded, our Father, that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. May this continue to burn in our hearts, our Father. And may the very thoughts that we have been considering even here at the last of the wounds of our blessed Savior, may they ever loom before our eyes. And in the shadow of that cross, may we continue to remind men and women of the old, old story. Thank you for our time together. Thank you for encouraging our hearts, Father, from your word. As we separate and go to many places, to many areas, some back to some of the same situations that they came from, may their burden be even just a shade lighter, as we would recall it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. We separate now with thy blessing, thanking you for the blessings of this day in Jesus' lovely name. Amen.